Good job, everybody, with that closing song there, with the children. It is a beautiful song, isn't it? Great song, yes. That should really charge us up, really charge us to motivate us to do a lot of great things for the Lord in our own personal lives. This morning, we want to continue our series in the book of James, and this morning is James chapter 4. James is telling us here the things that we should avoid in our own life and in the life of the church and in the world itself. So submitting ourselves to God, submitting ourselves to God's will on a daily basis. And beginning with verse 1, James says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have. So you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so that you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You're adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you know that Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us." Those words, kind of like Peter's message when he preached after the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the early church. That would prick our hearts, wouldn't it, to hear these words? And I'm sure it did the listeners and the hearers of James, who shared this with the church then. And it's something that we need to know and be aware of, because we don't want to be the friend of the world. We want to be a friend of Jesus, because he is our Savior and our Lord, and we are committed to him as Christians, as a body of Christ. So when we look at this scripture this morning, it is the Westminster Catechism declares that the chief of end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that's what we are doing this morning. We glorify God and we want to enjoy him forever and ever and ever. We praise and we worship him here on this earth. That's what we're practicing to do now. And when we get to heaven, we'll even continue that through eternity. And on the other side of that, though, there's another philosophy of life which affirms that pleasure is the chief good in life and fulfillment to be sought, and gratification of the pleasure seeking instincts and position. Now, that's the world's view. And in other words, the chief end of man is gratification of self. That's what that is saying, not gratification of God. Which is mentioned, actually, it mentions it in verse 1 and verse 3. So, the English word for philosophy is Hinduism. And we know what Hinduism is. It's a worship of other gods. It's worship of animals and so forth. But that word philosophy is Hinduism, a term derived by the Greek word twice, in verse 1 and verse 3. So, first of all, in verse 1 is translated what James is saying, pleasures are lust. Depending on whatever translation you may have, this is a KJV translation of pleasures and lust. So, let's look at what James is saying here about quarrels and conflicts, how we can avoid that, and submit ourselves to the Lord. So first of all, the source of quarrels and conflicts in verse 1. Now chapter 4 begins with two rhetorical questions. That's what James begins with. To help us think about the source of struggles and conflicts among our lives, or among Christian lives, among the church itself, the body of Christ. And James is saying here, all wars and conflicts grow out of inner turmoil and struggle in our own lives. And that's why he says here in verse 1, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? So, when we look at that, it is what James says. It's an inner conflict with our own self, the turmoil and struggles that we go through in life. It kind of reminds me of a young soldier. His name was Lackey, and he was a platoon. He was in a particular platoon, and he had a friend named Joe. And he pulled Joe off to the side one day, and he said, "Hey, Joe, you know, I'm getting ready to go to the front lines in battle, and I don't know if I'll be coming back or not. I don't even know if either one of us will be. But Joe, if I don't make it back and you make it back," he handed him a sealed letter. And he said, "Will you give this to Sally and let her know that she is the light of my heart, that she's on my mind day and night. And let her know that the last words I spoke was her name." And then he also pulled out another letter, and he said, "Now you give this to Karen, and you tell her the same thing." Now, we might find that a little bit humorous, right? And that's exactly what gets us in trouble. And that surely would get Lackey in trouble as well. And in James chapter 4, we learn that conflicts can be traced back to selfish and human in the human heart. It goes all the way back to the heart. And the selfish that caused this young soldier, two times Sally and Karen, had within the seeds of war that made him more than a participant in a military conflict. So, it made him a part of the cause. So it happens. So if you take a serious look around, the world is in turmoil. Would you agree with that today? In many, many ways. It can be on the physical side, emotional side, and most of all, the spiritual side. If you analyze and look at the world itself, and everybody was leaning towards the spiritual side, what a heavenly place to be here on earth. But it's not. And we know, because the root of sin began many, many years ago, and it continues to erode the world of havoc. Now, James says that outer conflict comes from inner conflicts. And the second part of verse 1 says, is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members. Now, when you say members, it's talking about in you, in us. You know, we are one, but we have one body, but many members. We have in the church, we have many people, but one body. But it's talking about the personal things in our own lives. So every discerning Christian knows that most church conflicts are not about buildings or budgets or programs at all. Often, church disagreements surface because of the spectrum of the inner personal and inner family frustrations. And Jesus, he talks about this in the Gospels. He used a word to describe people that did not mature because they were what he called choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Sometimes we worry about things we can't change, but we'll worry about them anyway. And then comes those pleasures and the riches and things in this world that plays havoc on us. And Luke chapter 8, verse 14 tells us what Jesus said about this. And their pleasures describe any personal goal such as money, a reputation, or success, which seek personal attainment before God's will. Now, when we look at all of this, as Christians, we will never be freed from evil influence of selfish desires. But when I look at God's grace and we look at His mercy, we can escape the world's trap. Satan is hard at work. He's working day and night, and he traps many people. But there's one thing about it. He can't trap people. He can't possess Christians, because we belong to the Lord. But we can allow to be distracted by Satan's schemes and so forth. And that's what James is talking about here. We have to take an internal look at ourselves and see what our relationship with the Lord is. Is it external or is it internal? Are we afraid of what people see on the outside more so than what's on the inside? And that's what James is saying here, that we struggle with the external things, but it's really internal things that God really looks at within our lives and what He desires to be more perfection or complete in our lives. So the only by walking daily in complete surrender to the Holy Spirit can we be freed from what James is talking about here this morning. And then James moves on to another topic in verse 2 and 3 when it says the motive behind unanswered prayers. Now, why would James talk about unanswered prayers? Sometimes we wonder. You know, we pray, and we don't see our answers, our prayers answered and so forth. And the Lord God is not obligated to us if things are not right on the inside. Might look right on the outside, but things are not right. If we're not truly right with God on the inside with our soul, heart, soul, and mind, then He has no obligation to answer any of our prayers. And that's what James is wanting us, the Christians, to realize. See, the Bible continues analyzing the result of choosing self-gratification of God in verse 2. When He says, you lust, you do not have, you commit murder, you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you ask not. Jesus, He linked an attitude of hatred and contempt with murder in Matthew chapter 5. And it describes what can happen when men choose pleasure rather than God on a way of life. You know, we have a blessed life. And blessed is a spiritual thing. It's not the material or the things of the world that brings us blessing. It's the things of God that brings us the blessed. And that's why Jesus on the Mount, when He preached the Sermon on the Mount, He said, blessed, 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 blessed are you who do these things and keep me in your, you're in the forefront of your mind, that you will be blessed. And even when you're persecuted for my name's sake, I will still bless you when you call upon my holy name. And He said, well, anything that you ask in my name, I will give it to you. And when we ask for those things, those are the things that we know that God pleases God. We don't ask for things that don't please God, and we know that's outside of God's will. But He said, you have not because you ask not. And what He's saying, you're not asking for the right things that I want to bless you with. And when we look at what James is saying, it gives us better understanding of the pleasures and the lust of the world that hinders us and keeps us from receiving God's best. So, at the conclusion of verse 2, James states the startling truth about our prayers to God. And God loves a humble spirit. He loves a contrite spirit. And a one person that really, it finally caught on to him. It was King David, after he had sinned. And if you read chapter 51 in Psalms, you understand the heart, what David really felt. And he came to his knees and he said, "Oh, restore unto me thy great salvation. Give me that contrite heart that I once had. Restore unto me." And when that is restored to us as Christians, as believers of Jesus Christ, there's nothing better than going to the Lord knowing that He's going to hear us and answer our prayers. See, there is no prayer that we all need to pray so much as prayer that we may love God's word and desire His promises. See, the Word of God is full of His promises, and all we got to do is just claim them. Be humbled and claim them in the name of Jesus. See, it's kind of like the little boy who his mother constantly was telling him to quit sucking his thumb. A lot of us had thumb suckers in your family, right? And it's hard to break them. Me and Brenda just give up, on our daughter Kim. And finally she did quit. But this little boy, he kept hearing his mama say, "You got to quit sucking your fingers." So he went to his room that night, and he got down on his hands and knees, and he said, "Lord, help me to quit sucking my thumb." Then there was a long pause, and he said, "Never mind that, Lord, because I enjoy sucking my thumb." Isn't that what we all do sometimes? We pray and we ask the Lord something, and we say, "Oh, do I really mean that? Do I really mean what I just prayed?" So, if we want our prayers answered, we must be willing to let God have His way. And God really knows if He's getting His way, right? If we're really giving up, if we're really sincere in our prayer. See, the pattern of our prayer should be that of our precious Lord, who said, "Not my will, yours be done," in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. But when you look at the purpose of prayer, it is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. And that's the purpose of prayer. So, in verse 4, as we look at verse 4, it uses the language to open our eyes to how God views those who follow the world instead of Him. When it says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God." Boy, James, right here, I believe that he called these believers adulteresses because of friendship with the world. That's why he was so blunt in calling them out. And do we not have that same situation today in our world society? That's why there's so much chaos. That's why there's so much conflicts and frustrations and so forth that's going on within our world today, is because we're not yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's hard to do that if you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So friendship describes a deliberate choice to follow the way of the world. Deliberate friendship. Our choices makes a big difference in our world, whether we choose God or whether we choose the world as our friend. See, Jesus said, I call you my friends because I know your heart. He knows the world as well, and the world doesn't choose Christ as a whole as his friend. So for a Christian, this type of response is disobedience, and it's outright what I would call rebellious against God. So for a Christian, this type of response is siding with the enemy. And then according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, if Christians are walking in step with the world, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, if we're doing that, we're out of step with God. So he who walks with God will be out of step with the world. Walks with God will be out of step with the world, and that's what God wants us. He wants us to be in step with him. So in verse 5, as we look at this final verse, which indicates God does not give up on those who possess or has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, he doesn't give up on us. Aren't you glad? Well, I'm glad he doesn't give up on me. You know, when I fail him and when I are slack or neglect, allowing him to have full control and power over my life. And as we all can say that in this verse 5, it says, or do you think that Scripture speaks to no purpose? And it does. We know Scripture speaks to a very specific purpose. He says, he jealously describes the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Be thankful for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you've often heard me say this, and I'll probably say it over and over and over. But our most neglected friend that we have is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is wooing us and showing us and reminding us of things maybe we're not doing or are doing, and that we need to make some revisions or corrections in our life, and we don't do it, then we are neglecting, we're rejecting the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's not good when we do that. So James claims that God placed the Holy Spirit within the believer. And that's what verse 5 is saying. The Spirit is intentionally concerned about any rivalry in our life. And when he speaks of that, he's talking about the heart. So God refuses to share our commitment with anything else within the world, and especially Satan, because Satan is going to try to trap us. But he can't do that unless we allow him to do that. So he wants our total loyalty. He wants our total devotion. So when we look at what James is saying in verses 1 through 5, he mentions the most common problems in prayer. First of all, when we pray, and I always try to acknowledge God, first of all, of his glory and his power and his greatness. First of all, recognize who God is. Because when we come to God, he is most holy. He's most righteous. And not just asking for the wrong thing, asking for the wrong reasons. Our prayers will become powerful when we allow God to change our desires so that they perfectly correspond with his will for us, each one of us. And that aligns with 1 John chapter 3, 21 through 23. John tells us how to do that. He tells us how to do that. And if we would do that, remember that God wants the best. He desires the best for us. And he has the promises that all we have to do is follow his will and align our will with his, and all of those blessings will come as a result of our faithfulness and our obedience to Him. So, James makes it pretty clear. These are pretty blunt words, profound things that James says to us today. But I think if we can see the things that's going on in the world today, and if we want to be faithful and true in our beliefs and our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, those would be the last things that we would want to be a part of in our own life as Christians. And I know that we need to be reminded, and the Bible is a reminder of the things of this world versus the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think about this being pre-Easter services and so forth, and thinking about the life that Christ lived before us, and then all the great things that He said to the disciples before He ascended into heaven, you know, it makes our life more precious, more, I would say, golden, because Jesus set the perfect example for each one of us to follow. And all the disciples and all the prophets and everything, see, they wrote exactly what God inspired them to write, because Jesus said to the disciples, all the things that I've said and taught you, you're going to be reminded of this by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you, empower you. I'm giving you all their authority in heaven and on earth to fulfill and carry on the work that I have done. And Jesus said, you're going to do greater things now that I go back to the Heavenly Father, because you are going to be empowered. So remember that. All of us like electricity, don't we? We like to go to that switch and we flip it on and we get light, right? Or we turn on our stove and we get electricity and we can cook. We like those things and we know it's there. Well, same with the Holy Spirit. It's there waiting for us to power Him up and to power through our life. Allow Jesus to work in and through our lives. We have to do that. Allow Him to do that. The Holy Spirit can empower us to do anything that we are motivated to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. And sometimes it cuts us pretty deep when we hear it. But Lord, it's only for our own good that we hear Your Word and we heed to it, that we actually apply the things that we know and we learn. And we thank You for the interpretation of the Scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we read it and as we study it, that it comes alive. We actually put it into action. And Lord, that's when we're really, truly blessed. So this morning, may we each and every one look at our own lives and say, Lord, yeah, this is where I am, and You know where I am. But this is not where I need to be. I want to be where You want me to be. And I yield. We must yield. We must surrender our lives completely. And sometimes, Lord, we mean well, but we don't follow through with our actions and our commitment. And Lord, that's why we're here, to support one another and to hear from Your Word and to be encouraged. Lord, everything about You is very positive. And Lord, our lives can be positive. There's nothing should be negative about anything in our lives. It should be all positive. And Satan tries to trap us and set us up and look on the negative side of the world, but we know that You're in control. So we need to just yield to You and pray for the world. And pray for anyone that we know that doesn't know You personally, that they will see the true light, the light of Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come in and save them and set their feet on solid ground. And Lord, that we follow You. We live for you and we speak for you because you have given us authority on high to do that. Whatever decision is this morning, Lord, you place it on our hearts. Lord, we're only responsible for our own relationship with you. Help us to see that. Help us to listen to your word and listen to your Holy Spirit as he knocks on our heart's door. Thank you, Lord, for your concern and your belief in us as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that you extend to each one of us. May we respond to your invitation this morning that we might be blessed. Bless abundantly, Lord, far beyond our own comprehension because you love us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning.